Our second reading this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Listen for the word of God. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This, along with Psalm 122, is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of hope, who brings love into this world, be the love that dwells between us. God of hope, who brings peace into this world, be the peace that dwells between us. God of hope, who brings joy into this world, be the joy that dwells between us. God of hope, the rock we stand upon, be the center, the focus of our lives, always and particularly in this Advent time. Amen. This time of year, when there is a crispness in the air and when the leaves are vibrant and falling from the trees, often reminds me of the years I spent living in Princeton, New Jersey. My husband Bart and I had just gotten married, and within a few months, we moved up north to Princeton to begin our study in preparation for ministry at Princeton Theological Seminary. There were seminaries closer to Raleigh, where we grew up, but we wanted to try something totally new. We both grew up in the South, as did our parents and their parents and their parents and their parents. You get the picture. We wanted to expand our horizons. We wanted an adventure. So while we studied and prepared, we also explored. Princeton is right in between New York City and Philadelphia. We drive over to Philly and look at the Liberty Bell, or we take the train into New York City. It was $13 round trip per person, and it took 50 minutes. We'd load our backpacks full of food and supplies for the day, like gloves, hats, and scarves, and we'd head to the city. At this time of year, we'd visit the ice skating rink and the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center, and once we even saw the Rockettes in Radio City Music Hall. We bought a big apple ornament for our Christmas tree that still hangs year after year. We hung it yesterday, as a matter of fact. Friends and family would come visit, and we'd show them the city, all decked out in its festive glory. Then we'd rush back to the train because we had to make the last train at 10 p.m. since we couldn't afford to stay in the city. Princeton became our jumping-off point for many adventures on a small budget from Philadelphia to New York City and beyond. Boston was only 6 hours away. Connecticut was 2. Once we drove back down south and all the way west to California, down to Mexico, up to Canada, and back over to New Jersey again, camping all along the way. That time in our life was so full of adventure. This Sunday can get lost in the pop culture vortex that we're living in. This Sunday falls between Black Friday and Cyber Monday, when we've been hopped up on carbs for days and we're starting to run out of our Thanksgiving leftovers. This Sunday can seem utterly inconsequential compared to the Thanksgiving holiday we've just experienced and the busy season of shopping and festivities that is to come. This Sunday falls in a gap between the busyness that was and the busyness that will be, between the joy and the complications of one holiday and the joy and the complications of the next. But this Sunday, today, should not be overlooked, because this Sunday marks the beginning of Advent. And throughout Christian history, Advent is a big deal. The season of Advent which is not the same as the season of Christmas, which begins on Christmas Day, began in the 5th century. Advent means coming, and Advent is a time of double preparation for both the birth of Christ and for his second coming. Advent is the beginning of the church's liturgical year, so this Sunday, today, begins week one in the church calendar. Today is a day of new beginnings and of expectant hope. Today is the beginning of our next season and our next adventure in faith. Advent shares the same Latin root that we find in the word adventure. And Merriam-Webster defines adventure as an undertaking usually involving danger and unknown risks, or the encountering of risks, or an exciting or remarkable experience. How many of us would describe Advent in this way? But our psalm is full of adventure. It's a psalm of ascent that describes the journey of pilgrims moving forward, upward, toward the very heart of God. They're full of joy at the thought of entering the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." The Message version of Scripture says, "When they said, 'Let's go to the house of God,' my heart leapt for joy." And now we're here, O Jerusalem, inside Jerusalem's walls. Jerusalem, well-built city, built as a place for worship. The city to which the tribes ascend, all the tribes go up to worship God, to give thanks to the name of God. This is what it means to be Israel. These worshipers, these pilgrims are excited to be headed to God's house. How excited are we to be in the house of God, in God's presence? These pilgrims are full of hope that all of God's tribes will be united in peace. Peace, or the Hebrew word shalom, is mentioned 4 times in this psalm. Shalom, or wholeness, healing, well-being, is God's vision for the world. It is what these pilgrims pray for. They sing as they walk, as they ascend to be with God. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. How different would our world be if this was our prayer for others? Let's try it this Advent. I'm going to write these words down from verses 6 to 9 and make them my Advent prayer this season. Maybe you'll join me in that. These pilgrims are committing themselves to an adventure of praying, seeking, and working for peace, for shalom, because this is God's intention for us and for our world. They are willing to put all the hostilities and differences of the tribes aside so that their community, their families, and their friends all might prosper. They're willing, for the sake of God who has loved them so well, to seek the good of the other. Talk about a countercultural adventure. This is what Advent is about. It's about love that goes beyond the rational. It's risky to put ourselves out there to love and seek and work for the well-being and wholeness of those who are not in our tribe. Advent is about preparing ourselves to receive Christ as the child and to receive Christ when he comes again. Advent is about watching for Christ all around and digging deep to find Christ within us. It's about finding the peacemakers, those who seek the shalom of others and joining in their work. Advent is about recognizing and receiving the love of Christ and then offering that love to others. Each year for the last several years, I've read a favorite Advent devotional book during the season. It's called A Child in Winter, and it focuses on the writings of theologian Carol Houselander. For one of the days, she writes, "How small and gentle his coming was. He came as an infant. The night in which he came was noisy and crowded. It is unlikely that in the traffic and the travelers to Bethlehem, the tiny wail of the newly born could be heard. She says God approaches gently, often secretly, always in love, never through violence or fear. He comes to us, as God has told us, and those whom we know in our own lives. Very often, we do not recognize God. God comes to us in people we do not like, in all who need what we can give, in all who have something to give us, and for our great comfort. God comes in those we love, in our fathers and mothers, our brothers and sisters, our friends, and our children. Because this is so, we may not be content ever to love with only natural love. We must also love everyone with a supernatural, sacramental love. We must love Christ in them with Christ's love in us. Isaiah, the quintessential Old Testament prophet who foretold the coming of the Savior, also gives us the imagery of going up to the house of the Lord. He says God's house will be on the highest of all the mountains, and not only will all the tribes come, but all the nations will stream to be in the presence of God together. This is Isaiah's vision for the world, indeed God's vision for the world, that we will all be united in shalom, well-being, in the presence of God. In Isaiah's vision, God will serve as judge and arbitrator between the nations. And listen to this. The people will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and they won't learn war anymore. We will turn our backs on divisiveness, the anger, and the violence that leads to war. We will become peacemakers and shalom bearers who don't learn or teach violence anymore. Not only are their tools for hatred destroyed, they are utterly transformed into life-giving tools, tools that will till soil to grow nourishing food, and tools that will prune away dead parts so that new life can grow. What would it be like if we let go of some of our hurts and hatred in our own lives? If we turned our destructive tools of intolerance, passive aggressiveness, or bitterness into tools for peace, well-being, and new life. This is the Advent adventure. Advent is our jumping off place to serve as disciples in the world, just as Princeton was our jumping off place for adventure in our new married life. Advent brings us to the house of the Lord in worship. And if we'll let it, Advent can lead us to the heart of God so that we may learn God's ways and walk in God's paths. In Advent, we often use the words watching and waiting. This year, we're using the word preparing. These aren't merely passive words. We prepare spiritual space and clear away some of the clutter and busyness in our lives, so that we can see and work toward the promise of hope, peace, joy, and love that God has given us. We wait like an expectant mother who prepares a place for the child in her life. She eats healthy food, takes care of her body, goes to see her doctor, praying and working for the shalom of her child that will be her gift to the world. Advent sends us on the path of those pilgrims before us who dreamed of, prayed for, and worked for a new and better world. As the season of Advent begins, we await the coming of our Lord, and we say with the prophet Isaiah, "Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." And I'll close with a prayer that comes from our Advent devotional. It is from today's devotion, written by Lillian Poole. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you for all you have prepared for us during this Advent season. Help us be intentional, watchful, and ready as we prepare our hearts, minds, and souls to celebrate Jesus' birth and his return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come, thou long expected Jesus, from our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Dear ones, this Advent, let's hold fast to the promises of God, the promises of hope, peace, love, and joy. Let's join in on this great adventure where we make space to see the love of Christ around us and to share the love of Christ from within us. And let's go and share God's peace, God's shalom, knowing that we do not go alone, because the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit go with us this day and forevermore. Amen.